whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Final hour, Bennett Woods on a Tuesday, live at Padres Fantasy Camp in Peoria, Arizona, where it is cold. I mean, yes, you expect it to be cold in the mornings, but it's now, 10 o'clock here in Arizona, and it's still very icy. In fact, Terry Kennedy, one of the skippers, just came in from the field having to add layers because it was so cold out there. Someone has a door open, and I got a little wind tunnel effect coming in, and even inside, I am chilly. There's a reason why baseball is a summer sport, gentlemen, not a winter sport, because it is not comfortable at the moment.
Yeah. There are, at least the last couple of years at spring training, there are some very, very cold mornings, like really, really cold. We're out there waiting for Mike Schilt to do his, morning presser every day. And really, really cold, right? I know I bring my little Patagonia jacket and, come prepared for those really cold mornings. It usually warms up though. And then you got that intense sun and make sure I got my hat ready and all that. So,
you can be anywhere from 30 to 90 at spring training.
Yep.
It can be anywhere. I think it was a couple of years ago, we were broadcasting live out on the patio, outside, and it was as cold of a morning as I can remember. And I've been out here 15 to 20 times over the years. And we were waiting, and our guest was going to be Peter Seidler, and he was just sitting out there with us, just freezing to death. And we just felt like so bad. They brought out, heavy jackets to try to keep us all from getting frostbite out there. But to have the owner of the San Diego Padres waiting to join us on one of the coldest mornings I can ever remember in Peoria. It's not quite that bad this morning, but it's pretty chilly out here in Arizona. I know it's been chilly in San Diego in the mornings as well when you get these eastern winds. So hopefully everyone stays safe. And I know there's been some wildfires in San Diego. Been following some emails from my Channel 10 colleagues as they've been covering that this morning as well. So hopefully everybody stays safe. On a much lighter note, I don't follow it that closely, Sammy, because I have enough to manage with my Twitter feed, my X account, and a little bit of Instagram. So I've never totally gotten into the TikTok universe, but I saw the drama this weekend of people losing their TikToks. Now, what's the current status? Are you back? Are you out?
It's back. Some features don't appear to be working correctly, but it is back. You can post videos. I've since posted. So yes, it is back. There was a period of, I think it was like 13 hours. It was at some point on Saturday evening, it went off. And then by about 11 a.m. Pacific time, it was back. So it was a very brief hiatus for TikTok.
So follow me here.
Yes.
And I get it. We live in a free country, and you should be able to allow to do what you want to do when you want to do it on social media. Is it possible that we could all be healthier if perhaps like every week, like social media just went out for like a day or two? Like, just,
yeah.
We just turn it off for a day or two every week for everybody.
I think there's a real argument that we might all be better off without all of it. You know, I've seen the idea thrown out there before. What if these things like, they closed up shop for the day, right? It's like you go to Home Depot. Hey, at 8 p.m. it closes. You know, hey, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, 8 p.m., 9 p.m., it's closed. And we reopen. We reopen at 8 a.m. Not the craziest idea. We might all be better off for it. Maybe, we'd just have, I don't know. But anyway,
it's so funny to think. But yeah, I mean, we
what if it was like a normal business?
Has to be 24/7, but it doesn't. I mean, businesses open and close. They post their hours, and then it's closed, and you got to wait. Maybe it's on Sundays it's off, or maybe it's one of those places that's closed on Mondays. There's just no TikTok on Mondays and no Twitter on Tuesdays, and they each get their day off or something. But I saw the freak out. Collective freak out from especially the slightly younger generation that has been so associated with TikTok over the years for losing it for a little bit of time, and I wanted to see how you were coping with it over the weekend.
I did just fine without it, and got it back and back to posting and in my TikTok ridiculousness. So, anyway, it's back, and we'll see what happens from here.
I also wanted to send a sincere thank you to everyone who sent me their wishes and love and prayers, all the tier ones yesterday. I posted it on my ex account, but I was driving over from San Diego, and I got to Yuma, and I stopped for lunch, and I got a call from my mom, and I knew my grandmother, who is 96 years old, hadn't been doing well, and she was up there with her, and she said it's probably getting to be about time, and you know it's very sad. I was very close with my grandmother growing up. I spent a lot of time with her, especially in my early years. But she was actually from Yuma. She grew up on a farm south of Yuma near Gadsden, down by the Mexican border. You think of Yuma as being on the Mexican border, but there's actually about 20-30 minutes you can drive south,
right
below Yuma, down in farm country along the Colorado River. And that's where my family on my mom's side is originally from. And just the thought occurred to me. I said, I'm right here. I haven't been there in probably 45 years, since I was 4 or 5 years old, to the old farm where my grandmother grew up. And I went down there, and I got an address, and I had to kind of find it. It wasn't easy to find, but the farmhouse was still there. No one lived there anymore, but the structure was still standing, and went and kind of paid a visit and, you know, took some pictures. And I actually remembered a couple of the, it was like an old tractor that I remembered climbing on, and got to just kind of reconnect with my past and her past a little bit. And it took me a little, like an hour out of my way on the drive over to Arizona, and then started back, you know, through Gila Bend, and got up to the 10 freeway. I was almost here in Peoria, and my mom called and told me that my grandmother had passed on, and I felt so lucky to have been able to go yesterday and visit the area where she grew up, you know, first couple of decades of her life on that farm before there was even like rural electricity back in the days. I can't even imagine how dark and quiet it must have been out there at night with no other buildings for miles, just, you know, one little farmhouse, and then just fields and fields of flax and lettuce and whatever they grow down there in Yuma, and they're still growing it down there to this day. But I did a post about my grandma who moved to LA and met my grandfather, who was the famous orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Robert Kirlin. He passed away when I was in college, but she's gone on for these last 27 years, on her own, very strong woman, just very stylish, elegant, classy lady, but also funny and treated just was the best grandma you could ever imagine. Spoiled me completely with, you know, breakfast in bed and taking me to rent movies and go to miniature golf. And any time that I would come visit, I would love seeing my Omi, I called her. So she passed away yesterday, and I had so many tier ones who reached out and offered me their best wishes and just told me that they were thinking of me in this moment. And I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who said something to me last night. It truly is special to be part of this community that we have in the morning. It's not just me and Woods and Paul, but it's you guys as well, you know, Sammy and Italian Paul, but it's also all the tier ones who make this a special place and a special community every single day. And I certainly felt the love yesterday, and I wanted to thank everybody for that.
Well, Ben, I've been thinking about you, and I heard you talk about it yesterday. I read the thread on X, and my condolences to you and your family, and thinking about you. Look, I can relate. I was very, very close with my grandparents, other side of the country in New York, and they both passed away within the last 5-6 years. So I certainly understand how much those relationships mean, and growing up with them, and I'm glad you got to take that detour in Yuma and experience that, and I appreciate you sharing the story. I think a lot of us did, so been thinking about you, and can certainly relate as somebody who misses my grandparents every day and wishes they were here to see my life and what's happened over the last 5-6 years. So I'm with you, buddy.
It's weird, you know, you can't be too sad. 96 years is a great life, and it's almost weird to be a 49-year-old guy and still have grandparents.
Yeah, bless
you. You know, my they had their kids young, and you know, my parents had me pretty young. I was the first grandchild, so I got to spend just so much time with all of my grandparents. But this was my last one, and that's kind of a, you know, sad moment to know that, yeah, you know, another generation has moved on. So I just wanted to thank everybody. A little breaking news in San Diego sports. Omi was a big sports fan, so she wouldn't mind me moving on to sports. Obviously, huge Lakers. My grandfather was the doctor for the Lakers and the Rams, so that was a lot of my L.A. connections back then. But some San Diego sports news just announced by San Diego FC that they have acquired another player, San Diego native Luca De La Torre, has been acquired on a loan from Celta de Vigo, I believe it's the Spanish club that he was in, a midfielder who's going to join SDFC, a solid European player that's going to come back to MLS and play for his hometown team. So another reason to get excited about our new club that just finished their first week of practice and I believe starting their second week of training camp today down at their training center in Sequan and the Right to Dream Academy. So new member of the San Diego FC family joining, and Luca De La Torre is the new news this morning on the soccer side.
Yeah, very cool. I'm reading about him right now and look forward to reading more about Luca. Look, I think it's going to be really fun, and I hope people are excited for the team and when they get started in March. And I know a couple of people who work over there who are working really, really hard to get ready for the season. And look, I'm really looking forward to it and getting out to one of those matches at some point. So I hope they're building a good roster. I won't pretend to know a ton about Luca De La Torre or the players they have so far, but hey, it's certainly going to be fun to have another team in town that you know, that's hopefully does some good things. So I know they're working hard over there, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I really do.
Yeah, I'm not going to wow you with my soccer knowledge either. I know that that's a bit of a weak spot for me when it comes to sports knowledge, and all I can say is I am committed to at least learning more about the sport. My son asked me, are you going to go to like the first game on March 1st, home game? And I go, I don't know if I feel like I don't have the right to be there yet. I need to learn a little bit more about this team. But I guarantee you I will get down to at least a couple of the matches at Snapdragon Stadium. And I have no doubt that San Diego is going to embrace this team. I mean, it's, you know, it's top level of soccer in the U.S. This is a major league franchise, you know, like Major League Baseball. And I do feel like there is a desire for that here in San Diego, Sam.
Yeah.
We want teams that can compete for championships, like the Padres and now San Diego FC. The Wave have been very popular. The Aztecs, you know, the basketball team can and has made a national championship game. I think it's one of the problems with the football team is that I think fans realize you're not really competing for anything because you can't against the other teams. And I think that's one of the cravings we have in San Diego is teams that, you know, nothing against the Gulls. I like going to a Gulls game as much as anyone. Hockey's a lot of fun, but you're a minor league team. You're not competing for a real championship. San Diego FC, they're competing for a real championship. And I do believe that's what San Diego fans crave the most right now, is that chance to win a title.
Yeah, I also think, and you would know this better than I do, I think there's a craving for live sports, too. I mean, think about the way these teams draw. The Padres, it goes without saying, Petco Park has been unbelievable the last handful of years. San Diego, the San Diego Wave, I mean, the Wave, the matches I've been to have been unbelievable, seeing those crowds and seeing all the kids and all the people that are so into the Wave. Obviously, you mentioned the Aztecs. Tell you what, last week I went to the San Diego Mojo home opener, the pro women's volleyball team that we have here in San Diego. Really, really nice crowd. I thought it was awesome. I would encourage people to go out to their games at Viejas Arena. So to me, there's a real craving for live, competitive, good sports, no matter what the league is in this city right now. And the Padres are certainly proof in the pudding with what they've done. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch them, and I'm looking forward to following San Diego FC very soon.
All right, Sammy, a little bit delayed, but I'm going to get to Don't Do This in our next segment. I don't know how it's possible in the first 5 seconds of a football game to make about four mistakes, but it happened over the weekend.
All right, I think you're talking about the Texans guy?
The Houston Texans.
I don't know what was going on.
That was about as bad of a start as you can have.
Was he excited? Was he mad?
We'll try to get into some of the details coming up next in Don't Do This. First, I want to tell you about SDFatLoss.com. My journey a couple of years ago, when I lost 40 pounds in 60 days, you can as well. A new you in a new year. We all make these New Year's resolutions, but most of us need a little help staying on track. I know I did, and I got a tremendous amount of help from the great team and my counselor at SDFatLoss.com. They taught me how to lose the weight, how to prepare my own foods, things that I like to eat, steak and chicken, vegetables that I liked. It made such a difference in sticking to the plan and then, after I lost the weight, in maintaining my weight loss. I had never been able to maintain before. I had become reliant on, you know, bars and shakes and mixes that you weren't going to do for the rest of your life. It doesn't work. This did work. It worked for me. It can work for you as well. So make the call now and take advantage of the New Year special from SDFatLoss.com. You can get $200 off the program if you call before January 31st, or just go to sdfatloss.com to schedule your free consultation. Find out how you can lose up to a pound of fat per day, 10 to 20% of your body weight in just 60 days. Increase your energy, sleep better, pain goes down. These are just some of the many benefits from taking that unwanted weight off and lowering your metabolic age. So do it today. Tell them Ben sent you. Go to sdfatloss.com. Take advantage of the New Year special. Get $200 off right now at sdfatloss.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
As the old expression goes, better late than never. It is time for Don't Do This. It is brought to you by Trust and Will. Don't leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die. Do set up a trust or will online at trustandwill.com. It's a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. Ben Higgins with you in Arizona. Sam Levitt back in our Odyssey studios in San Diego. And we're going to be a little bit off the clock this week with the different guests that we have coming by. In fact, if you missed Jake Peavy earlier this morning, we're going to play that back coming up in our 9:35 segment. And then Sammy and I can react to some of the things Jake had to say about the Padres and the Dodgers moves that have been taking place this offseason. So we've got that coming up for you. First, though, I will kick us off today on Don't Do This, Sammy. It is hard to make as many mistakes in the first, 5 to 10 seconds of a football game than cornerback Chris Boyd did for the Houston Texans on Saturday against the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs are getting the ball on the opening kick. Boyd is on the coverage team. First of all, misses his chance to tackle the returner, Nico Remigio, early on at about the 20. Does do a nice job in recovering, sprints down the field, finally brings him down in Texans territory, and actually strips the football away. So this is where things get a little bit off the rails for Chris Boyd. He thinks that the Texans had recovered and starts running toward his own sidelines, celebrating like a lunatic, and in the process rips his helmet off and draws a 15-yard foul for taking your helmet off before returning off the field. What he doesn't know, though, is behind him, and it's actually the Kansas City Chiefs who have recovered. He then goes to his special teams coach on the sidelines, Frank Ross, and gives him an absolute, like, shove, nearly knocks him to the ground. I don't know if it was in celebration or just in some sort of hysteria. Ross, of course, is really upset because he's just cost his team 15 yards, and the Chiefs are about to, you know, basically punch it in on the opening drive of the game because they're already deep in territory. Looks like Boyd has no idea what's going on. I'm sure you've seen this video, Sam. But how do you, I mean, that was like three mistakes that he made in the first like 10 seconds of the game for the Houston Texans.
Well, the weirdest part to the whole thing was I was unsure. At first I was like, he's really mad about something. But then you watched him start all of it right after they make the tackle. And I'm like, is he actually kind of pumped up, even though it was a super long return to start the game? The whole thing was very, very odd. I wasn't sure if it was an angry push of the coach, if it was an excited push of the coach. The whole thing was extremely strange at the very start of this football game. Very odd all the way around.
So head coach D'Amico Ryans is going with the latter explanation. He reacted this weekend saying, quote, "I don't think he was pushing Frank in a disrespectful manner. I think it was more so he was fired up, overly fired up, and thought he made a play to help us." So that narrative that he's pushing a coach, that's incorrect. Either way, bad look for Chris Boyd, and it don't do this. I don't know if you saw this story. I want to get your reaction to it, though. The social media team for the Colorado Rockies was wearing it this weekend.
I didn't see this.
So they posted a clip, and it's basically an empty beer glass, and they're pouring a Coors Light into a glass, Coors Field, Coors Light. But the guy who's pouring it, and you don't see him, you just see his hand and pouring the beer. It must be like the worst pour of beer ever. It's like 70% foam by the time it all gets into the glass, and Rockies fans were just lighting their own team up. Here are some of the comments. "I wish White Sox level of bad for this team because of this pour. This pour is the perfect analogy for how the team operates. LMAO, presence of suds on the glass pre-pour suggests earlier failed beer attempts, which I think is hilarious. This would result in prison time in Wisconsin. I will be reporting this to the local authorities." Whoever's running the social media.
Oh, my goodness. I'm watching the video now. This is a horrible pour.
If you got
this pour at a bar, I would say this would not even come close to qualifying as a pour that you could actually pay for at a bar. I wonder if they were they trolling? That is wild.
I don't know. Later, they sent out a post that said, for their fan fest, they said, "Don't worry, the pros will be pouring the bill, pouring the beer at fan fest." Pitchers report in just about 3 weeks for spring training. Just don't let the Rockies pour the beer into your pitchers, because it's going to be about 60% foam if they do. All right, finally, a little doo-doo this, Sammy.
Yeah.
And Frank, if you've got your DD mega doo-doo. This is actually a local story that I probably flew under the radar, but I thought was very cool, involving San Diego State golfer Justin Hastings. Justin Hastings competed last week in the Latin American Amateur Championship Tournament, and not only did he compete in it, he won the whole thing. And what makes this so incredibly awesome is that with the win, Justin Hastings, an amateur golfer for the Aztecs, qualifies for the 2025 Masters, the 2025 U.S. Open, and the 2025 Open Championship. So he's going to get to play in three of golf's majors this year based on this one win alone. He wasn't like the favorite or anything. It was kind of a surprise. I mean, he's a good college golfer, but came out of nowhere to win this prestigious amateur championship tournament. And with it, he's going to get to experience some of the greatest golf in the world this year, and gives us a local rooting interest if you want to pull for a San Diego State kid. Going to get to participate in three of the majors this year. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, very, very cool. I'm reading about it right now. Like I said, I'm not the biggest golf guy in the world, but that is very cool for a San Diego State golfer to get to play in the Masters, U.S. Open. That's awesome. Good for him. Happy for him.
Yeah, good luck to Justin Hastings, and that's Don't and Do This for a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, when we come back, a final segment of Ben and Woods, we're going to bring back some of our conversation this morning with Jake Peavy, analyst now for MLB Network, obviously Cy Young winner, but had some interesting thoughts on the Padres and Dodgers. I kind of disagreed with Jake a little bit. I hate to butt heads with someone that I like so much, but, you know, we talked a little bit about what the Dodgers move, so we're going to play to that. Sammy and I can react to it a little bit, get some more baseball talk in coming up in our final segment of Ben and Woods. First, though, want to tell you about Prize Picks. It is football playoff season, and there are free picks all over the place. I just got an alert for a new one this weekend for the Philly-Washington game. Jaden Daniels, more or less than one half of a passing yard in the game. That's a way to win easy money when you put together a daily fantasy sports lineup with Prize Picks. Over 10 million members across the country, billions of dollars in awarded winnings, including yours truly, taking my fair share of that over the last few months. You can actually win up to 1,000 times your cash when you run your game all season long at Prize Picks. It's easy to sign up. All you have to do is go to their website, download the app. When you do, use the code KWFN, more free money. Get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 line. Looking at special squares, special lineups. The big game is almost here. They'll have more special promos for the big game, including a special big game lineup, Super Sweat Millie, with a chance to go 3 for 3 and win your split of $1 million in promo funds. Check it all out at Prize Picks. And again, use the code KWFN to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup at Prize Picks. Run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. All right, final segment of Bennett Woods here on a Tuesday. But remember, we'll be live all week from Padres Fantasy Camp here in Peoria, Arizona. I think Sammy's going to sit in a little bit tomorrow as well. Is that correct, Sammy, when Woods and Paul are out on the playing fields as they are at this moment?
Yes.
Today is also a big day in the baseball world. Coming up at 3 o'clock Pacific time, the National Baseball Hall of Fame and the Baseball Writers Association of America will announce the results of the 2025 Hall of Fame balloting. And we'll find out who is in and who is out. It's very, very hard to get into the Hall of Fame. There's one, I believe just one in the building right now. I saw Trevor Hoffman here. He is in the Hall of Fame. Jake Peavy, who we had earlier on, you know how many Hall of Fame votes he got his first and only year on the ballot?
How many?
None. Mm. That's how hard it is to get into the Hall of Fame. Didn't receive a single vote for the Hall of Fame, even though, a couple of Cy Young Awards, World Series titles, great pitcher of his era. It's really tough to get in. Now, this year's ballot is headlined by Ichiro Suzuki, who is a slam dunk to get in. The only question is whether he will receive 100% of the vote. Only one player in history has ever gotten 100% of the vote. It was Mariano Rivera. Even Derek Jeter, someone left him off the ballot. Ken Griffey Jr. was left off 3 ballots, I believe. There's no reason not to vote, though, for Ichiro, Sam. Like, none whatsoever to not vote for Ichiro Suzuki.
Yeah, I mean, he's a slam dunk. I think CeCe Sabathia is going to be a slam dunk. But you're right. Look, Ichiro is, icon and just an unbelievable player and global figure. So he deserves it unanimously for sure.
Yeah, you mentioned CeCe Sabathia. The some writers make their ballots public, and on those public ballots, he's getting 93.3% of the vote. You need 75% to get in. So usually those numbers go down. In fact, they always go down when the final ballots are released, but 93.3 should be enough to get him in comfortably. The big question really today is whether Billy Wagner will get in. It's his final year on the baseball writers ballot. He came very close last year with 73.8% of the vote. So he only needs to pick up 5 votes this year to get in. He's currently polling at 84.8%. Last year he was polling at 78%, but when we're talking about these ballots, that's just the margin of like 3 or 4 votes. So it's likely going to be very, very close, maybe down to a single vote as to whether Billy Wagner gets into the Hall of Fame or not. What are your thoughts on Billy Wagner?
Yeah, I think he's a Hall of Famer based on the numbers and based on some of the other guys that have got in. Look, I certainly hope he gets in. I mean, I've seen some of the interviews he's done, and it certainly means a lot to him. He's so close, and I think when you're that close, when you were 5 votes away the year before, to me, that indicates you're a Hall of Famer. When you are that that close. And I bet I would imagine he gets in. When you're that close and you just need a handful more votes, I would think the writers are going to get him in. And I don't love the arguments against him. Not a great postseason pitcher, struggles there, you know. But I think when I think of Hall of Famer, I generally, before I even look at the numbers, think in my head, does this guy feel like a Hall of Famer? And I think Billy Wagner fits that bill. And I would imagine he was so close last year. I hope he gets in, because if he doesn't, I'm sure that would be very devastating to get so close and not get in.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the numbers are the numbers. They don't change after the career.
Yep.
But, you know, it's very rare that a writer will vote for a player for 9 years and then take him off the ballot.
Right.
If they think he's a Hall of Famer, he stays. Occasionally, though, writers will be persuaded with more information and will add them. Or, you know, you can only vote for 10, and maybe there was a year that they had 10 other guys that were more deserving, and then he adds them to the ballot later. So I think Billy Wagner gets in. The other two who are close are Andrew Jones and Carlos Beltran. Beltran's actually polling above the 75%, but only a little bit at 80.6. Andrew Jones is a little bit below on his ninth trip to the ballot now at 73.3, and looks like he'll probably finish a little bit short as well. But we'll find out for sure coming up at 3 o'clock Pacific is when they make that announcement. All right, we're going to check traffic last time. When we come back, right out of traffic, the interview Woodsy and I did earlier this morning with Jake Peavy, talking about the Dodgers signings and more here from Fantasy Camp. That's coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan. Right now, we've got another great guest here from Padres Fantasy Camp. You see him now on MLB Network all the time. Former Cy Young winner with the San Diego Padres, Jake Peavy, is with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Jake, it is always good to see you at Fantasy Camp.
Good to see you. Yeah, good morning, guys. It's Fantasy Camp's fun. You know, you guys have a tough schedule because the schedule runs late here. I don't know if you guys know about the Moon Saloon and its after hours activities.
But we've heard
what was missed last night.
We've heard of the Moon Saloon.
Nothing but good times.
I know.
Glory days.
This job's really hard after 14, 15 beers. I'll tell you that right now from experience. And you just can't really do a good job the next day. Maybe once a year, but
fair.
It's rough. Jake Peavy joins us this morning. You're looking great. You stay in great shape. I was watching you on MLB Network all year. You crushed it.
Thank you, buddy.
Do you get more nervous going on TV than when you had to pitch?
Probably so.
Yeah, I thought so.
Look, I'm not extremely fond of maybe the way I talk. You know, I don't have a whole lot of college education. None, exactly.
Right.
No public speaking courses or any of that. And I went on a couple years ago for my first time, and I was on with Fran Charles and Cliff Floyd. Floyd, a former teammate. And Fran goes, "Hey, man, can I help you with anything?" And I go, "Fran, we talk baseball? I got it, bud. Anything baseball related, I'm good. When it comes to TV talk, any of that, I know nothing, bud. Can you hold my hand?" So a lot of the lingo, when to get it out, the cadencing, you guys certainly know all of that, just lifelong doing what you're doing. But to stay around the game, to be a part of a team again, which the network is, to be pulling for the game of baseball in general, to grow, for young kids to be a part, it's fun. I learn a lot of the new age analytics and a lot of, you know, what's being blended in along the way, too, with the Brian Kinney's of the world.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's been a fun gig.
I got a secret for you, Jake. Don't tell anybody else.
I love secrets.
We're just making it up as we go along.
Yeah,
we don't have any expertise whatsoever. So don't feel bad if you feel like you're winging it as well on television. That's all we're doing as well.
Well, all you can do, we get paid to watch sports, baseball mainly, in my case, and get to talk about it. And that's the best thing about it. I certainly am not ever trying to. I'm passionate in what I believe. I believe it's my opinion, and it's nice to get to share that. It feels nice too when you retire from baseball and you're not really involved. I went back to Alabama, moved back east where my family was for my kids to be around, and you. Man, I lost where I was at. But I told you, the Moon Saloon.
Blame the Moon Saloon.
That's fine. You'll get the best of it.
Now we go back to what you're talking about. After 15 beers, and I didn't have 15, but probably a good 12 last night. I'm sitting here
Well, you're not a young man anymore,
Starbucks.
So you know.
That's false leap.
But if you get to sit around and talk about sports and watch it and have your opinion and to be a part of baseball, because what I was going to say is that the 5 years or so I went back home to Alabama and I wasn't really involved in any kind of baseball activity, you feel lost. You feel like, gosh, my whole life of commitment to something, what's it worth now? I'm not using any of it, and you go out and you find some other business world to get into, but you're a rookie again. So being back around baseball is what I know. It's who I am, and it's fun.
Well, you've crushed it. You've absolutely crushed it on MLB Network, and they go to you for the Padres talk. Kind of what's your sense right now of where this organization is? Obviously, last year hurt. It sucked. You know, everyone remembers the 24 scoreless, and being that close to the brass ring, you do get the feeling that was their best chance. And, you know, doesn't mean there's not going to be another chance that comes along, but where do you kind of think we stand right now?
Well, I love where we're at, you know, because of where Padre baseball has been and where it's come from. Petco is rocking. You know, home games are home games. We're excited about winning a World Series one day. It's talked about. It's now a precedent standard and something that we're looking to do. And look, when you look at last year's team, when you listen to the Dodgers talk about the team that we had and what it was like playing the Padres, they knew there was absolutely no difference in the two teams. What AJ did last year, or when it started with Arise, I feel like each, really affected the offense. You go out and you add Adam and you add Scott and you just build. They had a super team. Last year was as good of a year as we've ever had to win the World Series. It just got away, and you see in the playoffs, anything can happen. Where I think the Padres are is, look, we see what the Dodgers are doing. They're the talk. Arizona is getting a lot better and has this winner and got an incredible manager in Torrey Lovello, who I played for in Boston. Same thing with San Francisco. Buster Posey, I know that organization. The NL West is the big boy league. It's now is comparable to the AL East and what that's been talked about. So here's what I'll say. I won a couple World Series, and we did win the division by the skin of our teeth in Boston and won the East, but we were far from winning the West in 2014. You just got to get in the playoffs. For our Padre teams, yes, we want to win the West. But if the Dodgers run away with it, so be it. We're going to get back in the playoffs, and we've got unfinished business now, just as 22 fueled them into something special happening against us in 24. As we move forward, left-hander, good morning. Randy Jones is in the building.
Hi, Randy.
Got to speak to the legends when they walk by.
Oh, yeah.
But you just got to get in the playoffs. And now when we get in the playoffs in 25, I promise you we're going to be the ones with the bitter taste who's been sent home by the Dragon up north. So you get in. Tell me Michael King can't beat anybody in the big leagues. You know, Hugh Darvish, we saw what he was made of in the division game. Dylan Cease, we've got some guys that can go do it with a bullpen, with the position players. Just got to get in.
Jake, when you were a player with both the Padres and Giants, you know, the Dodgers would always be standing in your way. With the Red Sox, it was the Yankees in that division. But it feels like it was a little different. It didn't feel like either of those teams were like where they, at least the Dodgers, are now. Do you feel like baseball has a competitive balance issue that needs to be addressed? And I'm not talking about the finances necessarily. I know players never are in favor of a salary cap, but has it gotten a little out of control when you look at what the Dodgers are doing compared now to like the rest of baseball and what they're capable of doing?
No, I don't know. I think the Dodgers, I don't think so. I love what the Dodgers have done. How can you not?
Yeah.
And if this was
unless
our
you're a Padres
team,
fan, yeah.
Right. Unless you're us.
Yeah.
That's right. And so, man, when you are a Dodger fan, and I've got plenty of them around me, they're through the moon as we were through the moon when we were trading to get Juan Soto, when we were paying Manny and the guys and writing big checks. So, like, I don't think it's bad. I think the Dodgers have built such a system under an incredible leader that we all know very well. Dave Roberts is an incredible man. Their recruiting process up there, they've got all former Padres on their staff. Mark Pryor was a Padre. Josh Bards, the bullpen coach, caught me my whole Cy Young year. They've got a team and a staff put together, and everybody wants to go be a part of that.
Yeah.
They understand that, hey, we're trying to win a World Series every year. We've got this thing going. Look, and it's fun to have the villain. We've always had the kind of superpowers villains back east, and the Dodgers have always been somewhat of a villain, but now – They've got a target, right? Yep. They've got a target on their back, and it's going to be fun to watch them fall in the playoffs when that day comes.
Yeah, 100%. I agree.
It's going to mean more.
Yeah.
When we send them home in the playoffs, it will mean more.
There's no doubt. Look,
you're going to have to earn it because that's as good of a team on paper as we've seen in some time.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to Booney yesterday, and he said it's probably the most complete team that's ever been assembled in the big leagues. I mean, you got a rotation that's potentially 8 deep. You know, that's an embarrassment of riches, but
Sasaki hurt. Losing Sasaki, getting Sasaki here would have changed the tide and really, I think, balanced it out a little bit. But again, I'll tell you this. I was in San Diego last week and was watching and around some of these negotiations. I don't know that the Padres could have done any more. The guy was in uniform, getting loved on you, Darvish. He just wanted to go up there and play with today's best player in Ohtani, his fellow countrymen there. And then when you're the world champions and you can make the pitch that they made, it makes me understand how strong their pitch must have been, because I know the guy wanted to come to San Diego.
Yeah.
Just didn't happen. But you build moving forward. AJ is going to have to get creative as we move forward. But again, you just put a team together that's capable of winning in the postseason with some front-end starters, with a bullpen, and we know we got the position player talent.
Yep, 100%.
Jake, it's always good catching up with you. We'll see you throughout the week. But as always, it is always a pleasure.
Same to you guys.
Appreciate
there he is,
buddy.
Jake Peavy. And, you know, somehow since the that airing of the live interview earlier this morning, the Dodgers went out and signed another player, adding Kirby Yates to their bullpen. It seemingly never ends, Sam Levitt, with these L.A. Dodgers. And I get what Jake is saying, that it's good to have a villain. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. It's going to be sweet, you know, when you beat them in the playoffs. But they've certainly gamed the system in the regular season. I don't think there's ever been a team in baseball history that was more guaranteed to make the postseason than the 2025 L.A. Dodgers. I mean, it has to be close to 99.9% that they're going to be in the playoffs at the end of the year. I can't even come up with enough, you know, potential like mishaps and bad things happening to them that could keep them out of the postseason. I can't do it, you know, logically.
Yeah, look, they have created a team that, you know, you can pretty much predict how great they're going to be in the regular season. Now, like Jake was alluding to, how much does that mean once you get to the postseason? It means something. Certainly doesn't mean anything. I'll tell you what, though. I was looking up Kirby Yates' numbers. I mean, I knew he had a good year with the Rangers. He had a 1.17 ERA in 61 games. So, I mean, he's coming off an outstanding year, and I suppose good for him. He's going to go to L.A., I'm sure, a nice little deal. But look, I understand fans' frustration with what the Dodgers have done. I think a lot of it is warranted. I think there's a part of it, too, where you just have this incredible imbalance in Major League Baseball right now between the teams that are willing, can spend. Now, the Dodgers obviously are an exception even among those. And then teams that just aren't interested in it, whether you want to look at the Rockies or teams like the Pirates or take your pick. There are certainly a lot of other examples as well. And teams in the last, you know, decade or two that just don't do it and sort of refuse to do it. So there's an imbalance, Ben. I think you can point the blame on who you want to put that, put the blame for that imbalance on. But I agree with you. I think there is an issue. I think there is a problem. But I think you could probably make arguments for what that problem actually is and who's to blame.
There's always been an imbalance, Sam. I've lived with that imbalance my whole life.
Yeah.
I think what's different now is there's an imbalance between one team and the other 29 teams.
Yeah.
There's the Dodgers. Then there are the big spenders. Then there are some of the middle spenders. And then there's, you know, 50 feet of crap. And then there's the, you know, Pittsburgh Pirates and a couple of other teams that really need to be forced to spend more money. I'm not talking about that. I agree with people who say that those bottom teams need to spend more. I'd be mad. I mean, if I was a Mets fan, a Braves fan, a Yankees fan, a Phillies fan, that the Dodgers are doing things that even our big market teams can't seem to manage,
right.
And they're willing to do it and just blow past. The luxury tax was supposed to stop teams from doing what the Dodgers are doing. They put it in specifically to try to stop this from happening. It's not working. So you need to do something else. I mean, you put it in because you didn't want this to happen, and now it is happening. It's happening right here. It's not stopping the Dodgers. That's why I think baseball has a legitimate problem.
Yeah, look, I get it from the Padre standpoint, or at least the Padre fan standpoint, right? Look, it's not fun. I mean, it's not fun to see him get Roky. It's not fun to see him get Tanner Scott, Kirby Yates, Blake Snell, all these guys. And the only way you even it out, Ben, is you beat him when it counts.
A lot of people to thank. Sammy Levitt for sitting in studio. Really appreciate it. Italian Paul, Frank Marchese, great job as well. A lot of technical people trying to help us on the air. Things got much better in the second half of the show. Hopefully they'll run perfectly tomorrow when I return with Paul and Woods at 6 a.m. Annie and Elston coming up next. Thanks for joining us live at Fantasy Camp. Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.